I'm
Go
so excited to be here today. Thank you so much for joining us. How
ahead.
are you
No
doing?
problem. I'm well. I'm glad to be here. I like doing these kind of smaller events and just making people, not people in these big companies and all that, and associations understand about Homeland Security and that how dedicated all of us are to making sure the homeland is safe. And that making sure that small businesses know their opportunities at DHS. So
And
thank
that's
you for having
exactly
me.
what we're going to
Appreciate
tip into today. What opportunities are going on right now at
it.
DHS?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I
I won't
know.
list, I can't list them all, but I'll give you where to go find it. So
And
you
that
can
is perfect. That's all we need. Give us the tools and we'll do research on our own, right? So the big thing is this is your second episode, like interview with us. So in the first one, it went crazy. Like that's still one of our most watched episodes.
Oh, is it? Yay!
It is.
Very good, very good, very good.
So you
And I'm glad.
definitely came in and did that one.
I'm glad.
So
I'm
this
glad.
one, we got the bar set. So we gotta meet and then beat those expectations. But just so for the people
Try.
who are new to this or joined us after we had you on the episode, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is E. Can't tell you what the E is for, but I cherish the E. Actually, it's my grandmother's first name. And
Nice.
so E. Darlene Bullock, and who am I? So I am the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. That's a lot of words, but the OSDBU for Homeland Security. So what is the OSDBU? The OSDBU is, we are individuals that are 24 of us, we're in all of the 24 CFO Act agencies. Every agency that has the power to procure, the power to buy. There's one of us in each one of those. So I kind of liken myself to like the quarterback of the, there's only not too many quarterbacks, right, for the football team. So it's one quarterback. He's got a bunch of wide receivers, a bunch of running backs. You might have some quarterbacks or backups, but there really is one OSDBU in each of those 24 agencies. I am one of those.
Nice.
So I represent Homeland Security. And a lot of things you hear about Homeland Security, but the one thing we do is keep this nation safe. We have many missions at Homeland Security. We are the fifth largest spender in the federal government. And we are the third largest employer in the federal government, Homeland Security. So, just think about that. You're like, okay, well, what do y'all do? We buy everything from pencils and food items FEMA may purchase, all the way to helicopters and airplanes and different things that we need to support the many missions. So one of the things I do tell individuals is, we use this Homeland Security, but what is that? You got to research, because Homeland Security is made up a lot of different, we call them components, right? So you have TSA, right? If you fly on the plane, the people who check your baggage, that's TSA. TSA does not operate the airports, however, but they do provide the security of the baggage before it gets on the airplane. US Coast Guard, you've been out on, partying on the boats and ships and yachts and so forth in the summertime. Part of the duty of the Coast Guard is making sure the seas are safe, the path air, seaways and oceanways are safe, and those riding on those specific passenger vessels and are safe. They do drug interdiction, they ice break. We have FEMA, many of, hopefully, we love the mission. We love what FEMA has to do, right? And why they do it. We just don't want it to happen often. FEMA takes care, before, during, and after disasters. That's part of what they do. And some of you watching this may be in areas that are prone to, natural disasters occurring. And, FEMA is always on the mission to support individuals affected by disasters, natural disasters, fires, hurricanes, so forth. So that's just part of DHS, Secret Service, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Customs and Border Protection, CBP, which we hear about a lot in the news right now. So there's just so many different parts of the department, and hopefully, businesses like yours, or can support it, or you just want to know more about CBP or TSA or ICE or Secret Service or FLETC or FEMA. You know, where do my tax dollars go? You know, so hopefully this is some interest to you have some interest after this to not just explore opportunities at Homeland, but you know, what is Homeland Security? What do they do? How do they affect me every day? You know, large events like the Super Bowl, DHS is there. Of course, you know, upcoming president election and everything that has to do with that, Secret Service and Homeland Security is there. So we are a part of everyday life. And just so you know, Homeland Security is a 20 years old as a agency. You know, Coast Guard and those things are hundreds of years old. But you know, after 9/11, spark, hey, we're kind of not communicating with each other. We're all over the place in this in order to protect the nation, and Homeland Security was opened its doors as an agency in 2003. So while we're the young agency, you know, we have a lot of old components or pieces to it, and you know, those are the basis of who Homeland Security is, and you know, I welcome you to learn more about it.
Absolutely. And I think I love how you mentioned even everyday activities. Like, we don't
Everyday.
typically think about that stuff because that out of sight, out of mind, right?
Right.
That whole aspect of it. But you even mentioning the Super Bowl, which literally just happened. Department of Homeland Security was involved in that. Can we talk a little bit about like from a state level, like is it more of having presence in different regions, or is it like something within the state? Because let's say, for example, down here in Florida, we get hurricanes. Does it, how does that correlate to, you know, the national federal agency to like different states and counties?
Well, I welcome you to watch, look at FEMA and look at what they do, do more research. And if you have questions about FEMA very specifically, I'll be broad in nature. So what happens is, let's say there's a hurricane or a fire somewhere, and the state, the governor of that state requests help from FEMA. You know, most states have their own disaster recovery, or you know, some immediate response unit, you know, so have their own, like, you know, state recovery or state that does similar to what Homeland does. But when the governor of that state requests assistance from the federal government and FEMA, you know, they are here, and the president also can declare that area a national disaster. There's certain things that kick in at a federal level that we do then help states out with, you know, housing, flood assistance, a whole bunch of different things that occur when that happens. But a lot of it flows through the governors of the state.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. And so we talked about that. We mentioned the mission of Homeland Security, and I love how you broke down like all the different departments. When I went to the website, there's actually a section for topics to kind of give you more information about all of these different areas. Is that one of the spaces you would, you know, recommend us to go to find out more information about all of the different components of?
Yeah, if you go to DHS.gov, you can, and that's the public facing website. And so there you can find out a lot about each of the components. They each have their own website where they talk more in depth about what they do, who they are. So I would suggest that that would be one area that you look at. You know, you can look at even at organization charts. They get really deep into the many missions of each one of the components. We also have information on, you know, some of the how do you do business with each one of those components. It differs, you know, they all have different missions, so it's quite different. So you know, while I operate the Oz the Booth proper, I say, is, you know, I'm in charge of the entire small business program for the department. And each one of these components that I talk about, TSA, USCIS, FEMA, et cetera, they have small business specialists that help me and my team do our job in those components. So, you know, if someone's interested in, okay, you know, I'd like a little more information about CBP, you know, if you were to do a search or DHS small business specialist, you could find out about CBP. So I tell everybody, look, you know, like my daughter, she's 19. She'll call me and say, hey, mom, what's the, look, you have a computer in your hand, right? So you can search, you walk around with a computer every day that's quite strong, strike cap quite capable to find the answer. So we have a lot of information on the website. So that's one area. So it depends on what you're looking for. Like if you're looking
Got
for, what is DHS buying? Those are different websites like USA Spend, Federal Procurement Data System. There are a lot of ways that you can find out what it is that we buy, what our budget is, what have we spent money on. So that's one way. And then the other is, what you really should do though is find out what does this agency do? I know a lot of times we have, I meet people and they may not believe in the mission of that component. I'll just say that. So they
Absolutely.
choose not to do business with them. That's your right to do that. This individual's right to do whatever, but learn about Homeland. Learn about the different parts of Homeland Security. You may, have an item that you want to sell that might make sense at FEMA, but makes no sense at Secret Service. So why would you go,
Them with it.
go that way with your product or trying to market yourself or what have you? But we always say make sure you understand the customer, what the customer buys. Oftentimes it's hard to find out culture and all that. We talk about culture of the organization. There's no way you can know that by reading something, right?
Yeah, for
The
sure.
best way to do that is to talk to people who actually work there to say, oh, even though the last time we had the conversation, I don't know if many of the executive orders had come out about diversity and equity and inclusion, right? And
No.
so those centered around not just buying, but hiring, So, if there are places that you also say, hey, you know what, I wouldn't mind working at Homeland. I like their mission. That's one reason I came. I like the mission of Homeland Security. I've been here for, I don't know, 17 years. Before that, before I was the OSBU director, I was a contracting officer for many, many years
Nice.
at Homeland Security and a lot of other places. But when 9/11 occurred and Homeland was formed, I knew that that's somewhere that I wanted to work. And
Okay.
so same thing goes when, as a small business, I know this is something I want to support. I think it's hard when companies may want to support something just because the opportunity exists and the money's there, maybe. But if your heart is not really in supporting the mission or that agency, sometimes that's a like a recipe for not success. So, we really should be looking at how, who we are, the same way that we look at, who are you as a company.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'll tell you, I have meetings where people come to me and say, they have no clue that Secret Service is a part of Homeland or FEMA. Well, you should have done your homework a little better. Or I got an email the other day, which I didn't use as an example, where the gentleman was, he obviously was putting Health and Human Services, he meant Homeland. But we look at those things, it's attention to detail. It's, if you're not that attentive in an email, how attentive are you with executing contracts that are millions of dollars?
Oh, that's
So, I mean, it's just a good point. As a contracting officer, I do like to say that as, one of my bits of pieces of information. Government people are very smart, and we can tell when things are not written right, when they're written by a bunch of people, when it's not cohesive. You're sending emails that, it's like you just want to be part of something. But not really have your whole heart in it,
Got it.
and so so we want people that are partners, and when you're a partner, personal and work, you got to be in it,
I'll
right?
be in it. That's
Got to be
true.
in
I'll
it, and
be in it.
that's what we need also at Homeland. So.
Now, one thing you mentioned that we actually want to hit on, someone asked a question about it as well, but DHS's budget. And typically, how do you find it, and what does that mean, when we hear what the budget is?
Well, that's a good question because right now we are under continuing resolution. You say,
Yep.
Don, what does that mean? Well, it means we don't have any money. Well, it means I'm just joking. It means we're operating under the same budget we had the
Last
previous
year.
year. So if you watch the news in Congress, we would like to have a budget. Every agency would. So right now, in a continuing resolution, we can't start new projects. We have to operate at the same level of funding that we did the previous year. So right now we're kind of waiting pattern to see what our budget would be. But the budget is published. You know, there are line items in the budget, excuse me, that come out that you know, certain things have to be done with this money. You know, so it takes. It's not difficult to find DHS's budget. It's not difficult to find what we're spending money on. Now, budget is different than what we're buying. So I want to be very clear. So we talk about budget. Remember, I said DHS is the third largest employer. So a lot of that is salaries. It could be a lot of operating expenses, et cetera, right? But what do we buy? What is our budget to per what are we purchasing? So
Purchasing,
just to understand, and you got to have kind of understand a little bit about how the Small Business Administration considers eligible money, eligible dollars. So DHS buys a lot, right? So last year, I think we were around $26 billion in spend for eligible dollars. That's contract dollars, okay? That has nothing to do with DHS's operating budget and salaries and all these things. That's totally different. What we spent in contracts last year, eligible for all businesses to be able to compete, that's very important, was about $26 billion. That number does not include grants, interagency agreements, cooperative agreements, doesn't include in that. That is just contracting dollars. So there's a whole stream of money that's available for grants. You know, I'm not a grants expert, but I can, you know, speak. You know, if you look at FEMA does a lot of grants. The Office of Procurement Operations at DHS, who's the buyer for a lot of the different offices within DHS, they do the they issue grants. So grants is a different part. So I won't go over that piece, but just know there's grant money that goes to states from Homeland in various different ways, law enforcement efforts, disaster efforts, different things that help the states. But our contracting dollars, where small businesses were eligible to compete, was about $26 billion. And you say, well, Donna, what does eligible to compete mean? Well, just that. I mean, there's some contracts or some actions where and maybe DHS isn't a good example of it, but I'll use like the VA, for example. The VA and some other agencies have exceptions to contracts where small businesses can't compete, like hospitals. The veterans can go to regular hospitals. You know, MedStar is not a small business. Okay. So their dollars, total eligible dollars, do not include hospitals. Because that's not somewhere where small businesses can compete. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So when we talk about these total eligible dollar numbers, you'll see those on the SBA scorecard. If you don't know about the SBA scorecard, that's the scorecard that tells, hey, how are these agencies doing in small business and some of the small business goals, prime goals, subcontracting goals, et cetera. I don't want to get too, you know, some people may have questions, but yeah, there's a lot of ways to figure out the budget, but then you got to know budget. What are you talking about? You talk about contracting budget, you talk about DHS entire budget. Those are two totally different numbers. But again, at $26 billion, we are the fifth largest spender in the government. You know, just to some of my other colleagues, Department of Defense, of course, is number one. You know, they just have a huge budget. The VA, Department of Energy, Health and Human Services
Got it.
are some of the other ones that are higher than Homeland. We come in at number five, but you know they all have important missions, and we all do.
Okay. And then so one thing that we mentioned, you mentioned the SBA scorecard and what that means for small businesses. Now, typically on those scorecards, it also outlines businesses with different certifications and if you meet that goal. What is DHS's current goal for those small business set asides? And then also where do you stand on that scorecard?
Okay, so the two parts, I'll answer it in two parts because we're in 2024, right? So our fiscal year 2024 goals, I'll talk about those. But our fiscal year 23 goals and achievement, the scorecard has not come out yet for fiscal year 23. They're expecting it spring of this year. Usually it's summertime, so a little bit ahead of schedule. But DHS's preliminary achievement is that we've exceeded all of our small and prime contracting goals. So our goal last year, I believe, prime was 35.5%. And what is that, darling? Well, that's 35.5% of the eligible dollars. So when I talked about 26
26 billion, right?
billion dollars, DHS obligated about $10 billion to small businesses last year. That's more than some of the budgets of a lot of other
Departments, yeah.
agencies in general, right? So $10 billion went to small businesses last year. One of the goals was small disadvantaged business. If you've been, if you haven't been under a rock, you don't know that, President Biden is what he's doing is in line to what the Oz the Boo have been doing for years, making sure these opportunities exist. But we're glad that it's coming in executive orders
Absolutely.
to make it very clear how small disadvantaged businesses, underserved groups should be included in this. So our small disadvantaged business goal went up to 17.9% last year, fiscal year 23, I should say, and we met that. Right now we're crossing our fingers because we're right there. It's hard to beat, but we're I think we've done that based on the preliminary numbers. And what does that mean? Now, what does that mean? Well, that means about, I think the number was like $4.9 billion went to small disadvantaged businesses and Homeland Security. Over $1 billion in went to women-owned businesses, went to service-disabled veteran businesses, went to HUBZone businesses at Homeland.
Got
So
it.
we meet all of our goals. So we're the only large agency out of those five. I know they're going to kill me, my colleagues.
Oh, look, you telling
And,
business.
I get on and I mean, it's just that, we have fun with each other, but
Absolutely.
we're the only ones who meet all of our small business prime goals.
Wow.
We are very, we all have different missions though, but we're very intentional about what we do, the contracts we award, and making sure that we do that. Now, for 24, fiscal year 24 began October 1st, right, 2023. So our small business prime goal is 36%. So it went
Got
up a bit. So they, SBA challenges you to do a little better. Our small disadvantaged business goal went from 17.9 to 18.25%.
Okay.
That's really a stretch goal. We're trying. We're going to try. We're trying to meet the government-wide goal, which increased for fiscal year 24. So we are full stop, full out trying to meet that and trying to make sure that our program offices, our contracting officers, contract specialists understand. Lots of times you got to understand the why.
Yeah,
And when people
definitely.
don't get the why of things,
Doing it
they
feels
don't
like a
get why
hassle.
they're, I can talk about how equating your job to the why is important. Just the same way I just talked about a little bit before about, you when you're going for contracts, don't just think of the money. You got to kind of be invested in the agency and the mission. So, right. So for 2024, okay, our small business prime goal is 36%. Our small disadvantaged business goal is 18.25. Our service disabled veteran goal is now 5%. So in the NDAA 2024, the service disabled goal was raised for all of federal government to 5%. So service disabled veterans, we are here to support you. DHS does a great job. We've met that goal many years in the past, more than five. So we're confident we can do that.
Been doing. I
HUBZone
think I remember
goal.
when it was at three, at one point or something
Well, it
like
was 3% before last 4/24, right?
Oh,
So what happened is, so the service disabled veteran and the veteran community said, look,
But y'all gotta do,
we
yeah.
gotta do better. Underserved group, disabled veterans, we should also have an increased goal. And so that goal increased to 5% for 2024. And
Right.
so, that same goal went to every agency to try to meet. And I think as a whole, as a federal government will meet that. I
Yeah.
think there may be some challenges in some agencies of meeting that 5%, but I'm sure they're going to try.
Yeah,
I know
definitely.
I'm confident that DHS will exceed that. The hub zone goal is 3%, and women-owned small business goal is still 5%. So
Okay.
we're confident in all of those goals. The small disadvantaged business is a stretch goal for us, but we are moving toward to try to meet that.
Got you. Okay. And that's good, like, to really hear how those goals outline. Another piece of it is,
And I want to say, just so
oh.
clear, when we talk about goals, now those are my goals. They differ for every agency.
Agency.
Okay, so those 24 CFO Act agencies I talked about before, SBA negotiates individual goals with each one of those. So my goals at DHS are not the same as Health and Human Services. They're not the same as agriculture, the prime goals, and small disadvantaged business goals. The other ones, I believe, women-owned, HUBZone, service disabled, they're the same, but the small disadvantage and prime are quite different, and even the subcontracting goal. So again, you have to know, it's very prudent to know what the agency spends, what their goals are. Have they not met their goals? That can give you kind of idea. Okay, well, this agency has never met their woman-owned goals, so maybe they're going to issue more women-owned set-aside
That's a good one.
solicitations. So, small disadvantaged business. There is no small disadvantaged business set-aside. But there's a goal. So you're like, well, how, darn, that doesn't make any sense. Well, that's the law. It was challenged years ago, but there's no small disadvantaged business goal, but the 8A program. And we have to understand, even people listening to this are government people, is that the more socioeconomic set-asides we do, that helps us meet small disadvantaged business because a lot of those have double their different categories. A lot of hub zone companies are small disadvantaged. So, people are indicating that's what they are in SAM.gov. We can assume to we can take the credit for the company having more than one type of
That
certification, right?
absolutely.
So that's why socioeconomic is so important, that we make sure we do those set asides first. So that allows us to meet the goal. Go, go, go. We can talk about goal all day, right? Goals on everything. It's creating the opportunities. You may not meet the goal, but you might have created some different opportunities in space for a different type of business. So, goals are important. We do grading on those. I'm not gonna say they're not, but and those are what drives a lot of the opportunities. And I also say that within DHS, we have goals within each one of those components I talked about, TSA, Secret Service, et cetera. They have their own goals that I assign
Okay.
because it all rolls up into, meeting the overall goal.
Gotcha. Now, the last time we were on here, in the spirit of just talking about roles and upcoming opportunities, you mentioned a forecast platform, a forecasting website that we, and I will tell you, I have been utilizing that forecasting website
Good.
to the maximum. But can you tell us a little bit how that has kind of helped streamline some of the processes for small businesses, or how it can help a small business?
Well, we are required by public law to post all of our procurements over 250,000 on a they have to be posted. That's every CFO Act agency again has to post that. Some use a tool similar to the one we have. Some still using spreadsheets, but they have to get it out there. It has to be posted. So, what's the purpose of it? Our system is called APFS. So APFS is the system that we use to alert you to what we may do. So it's a planning forecast system. So it's a planning tool. So what are you planning, darling? Well, sometimes there are requirements on there that may happen this fiscal year, may happen next year, may get moved to a different fiscal year. But it's somewhere where you can track to say, hey, you know what? I see this requirement. And we, as a team, we want to make maybe go after that, or I want to go after that. So it kind of it gives you information into what we plan on buying. Now, if you look in there, it kind of gives you an idea of how we plan on buying that. That's kind of an idea, right? Because there is the strategy to buy anything does not occur until market research is completed.
Okay.
Some of those aren't until I see them. We have certain processes in place where,
Yes.
for unrestricted procurements, you may go on and say, oh my gosh, this is unrestricted. Wow, we can do this. What I'll say is that track the procurement. If you see one in there, and just do a search for, I think our website, I think the website's apfs.dhs.gov, or
It's
just dash
apfs-cloud.dh.
cloud. It's just gotten in
Let me
cloud.
put it in here.
Excuse me. I can't remember. But if you just search, if you put it in the chat, if you just search APFS DHS, you'll see it. And so you can search by your NAICS code, you can search by word search, you can search by component, and you can see the requirements we have planned to to procure. Now, we'll say that is a living document. So if you look at it tomorrow, it's not
It
going to look
may
the same as it
change.
did last week. It changes. You can even get emails so it can update you to when something you're interested in, NAICS code pops in.
Oh,
You can download an Excel and look at it and, do some creative things. But I will say when you go in and look at it, there's a identifier called an APFS number. It begins with an F. F is in Frank. So if you see something in there, you go, oh, this interests me. It may be something you want to track, and you can contact my office, the Osgood office, or you can contact the component, because if you look at the guide, it gives information about which component, CBP, Secret Service, whose procurement this is for. And I think on the far right, it gives a point of contact.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to tell you they're going to call you back every time, right? Some of them have jobs as program people who have diff they have just a bunch of different things that they're working on. So if you're interested in something in that forecast, please reach out to our office. And I can put our general email in the chat. I don't know if you wanted to
Yeah,
drop
what is it? What the
our
general
gen
email?
the general email box with DHS Oslo is DHS OSDBU
OSDBU
at
at
HQ
HQ
dot DHS
at DHS
dot gov.
at gov. Okay, so I put DHS OSDBU at HQ.DHS.gov. All right, perfect. I dropped it in the chat on the YouTube link. If you missed it, you could definitely go and check it out on YouTube. So all of the links that she mentioned to the procurement forecast, the links to different all of the different organizational components, all of those links are in there. Okay, perfect. So we had that one. Someone asked a question and they said, so anything less than 250,000 is potentially a no bid opportunity. Is
No,
that
not correct.
okay?
So everything, no, I'll break it down to you as a contracting officer so you understand it. So everything from $0, nobody's buying $0, up to $10,000. That's the micro purchase threshold. So sometimes you hear people talk about micro purchase threshold, MPT. So I'll give you the dollar amount. So from 0 to 10,000, yes, you're supposed to, not that it's no bid, you can bid it if you want to, or you're supposed to find the best and reasonable price. So those are ones that are, you can kind of go to any company and buy what you want based upon the dollars making sense, right? Or what you want to spend. You should be doing some kind of analysis. Anything between 10,000 and 250,000. 250,000 is the simplified acquisition threshold. You'll hear that called SAT. Anything between those two is reserved for small business. So I'll tell you right now, if you're somewhere and someone is going to buy $40,000 of things from Walmart, you need to let me know, because it says shall in the FAR. Now, are there exceptions? Yes, because sometimes you have to get subscriptions to online services we need, or so Small businesses may not have that. So there's an exception that you would write up as a contracting officer. But 10 to 250 have to compete it. And small businesses shall be your first choice.
Got it.
Now, 250,000, above 250,000, everything's competed. You know, sometimes there's sole source awards. And if you see sole source, what does that mean, darling? Well, they're going to bid it, give it to one person. You say, well, how can they do that? Well, they can if they have a good enough reason to do it. And there's certain things they have to follow. You have to post it in SAM. There are different things that you have to do depending. The 8A program is a little different. You'll find, Alaska Native corporations and tribal organizations at DOD is a little different. There's certain things that at DHS, you don't have to post it if it's over 25 million for one of those organizations. So it depends. So let's don't make blanket statements. Let's learn about what the rules are, and we want to help you do that. So are there no bid, meaning sole source? Yes. But when we do send it out for solicitation is issued, yeah, we expect to get quotes. We expect to get proposals submitted. So, but if you do see something where it's no bid, they have a reason for it. It could be a follow-on. It could be your own company. Let's say that you have a company, right? And someone wants your agency wants to continue doing business for the next 8 months because they haven't awarded the new contract yet.
Got it. It's a
Usually it's a
follow-up.
logical follow-on. We want to continue with this until we're ready to award the new one. So I think anyone would want to do that, right?
Absolutely.
But that agency there's certain things that they have to go through within the agency through their competition advocate and things they have to post to be able to do that. So this is why I want people to understand, when you hear a lot of things about government, it's just not accurate. And their processes in place within agencies, within procurement offices, within competition advocate groups, within components, within OGC legal that you have to satisfy before you can do certain things. So please don't think that, oh, they're just doing anything. That's not how it works at Homeland Security. We're very risk averse. We make sure that the I's are dotted and T's crossed. And I just want to get through to people that make sure you understand that. So, and if you need information, I have a question about this. You can always ask. Well, I give you the honest question and give me honest question. I give you an honest answer.
She sure will.
I show well. So don't think, oh yeah, because I don't want misinformation. We have enough misinformation in the world right now, right? So we want to make sure that what you get from me is an accurate answer. And I want to make sure you get that. So we have a lot of things that float around that aren't true. Hearing it from the people who actually have to execute these things is I think is the best thing for a lot of us to do.
Oh, definitely is.
Mindful, be mindful.
I will say in the midst of that, we have like businesses who are just getting started in this space. If this is my first time and I've identified, you know what, I really want to work with CBP, or I really want to work with USS. S, right? How do I get into this space, or really just market my business to establish myself as someone that can be a partner? What is the, like, what would be the best advice you would give for a small business in
Well,
that
I'll say there are different ways.
area?
One, sometimes small businesses, maybe large businesses too that are not in the federal space already have to be ready. It's a bit different. Working in commercial space or being a small business, maybe the first thing you do is subcontracting. Maybe if I work for a larger business and I let them handle the government, I don't want to. It's a lot to do. I can learn a lot of things. I can there are a lot of programs like SBA's Mentor Protege program. DHS has a Mentor Protege program we're launching, relaunching.
Oh, nice.
There's DOD has Mentor Protege, Department of Energy. So there are programs to try to get mentors who are normally large businesses. At SBA, they don't have to be large businesses. They can be a small business mentor. DHS, you have to be large to try to get, companies that are smaller, procurement ready, have them as partners, et cetera, et cetera. So one way is not to jump out and be the prime contractor, right? But then you may say, well, no, John, I think I am ready. And you know, I do want to kind of, see where this leads me. So the different parts of that. So if you're not really, what we do at DHS is I don't get anybody procurement ready. You know, I talk about, a lot of different things, but I'm not here to help you write a proposal. I'll tell you that. That's not something that we do. So there are groups like Apex Accelerators with DoD who they're responsible for helping businesses, small and any size, but how do you do business with the federal government? Apex, APX, I know you know them, accelerators. They can help with that, and they're usually out of colleges, and they can help you. It's free to, how do I do business with Homeland Security, or how do I do business in general? Now, when it gets to, specifically about Homeland, of course you can talk to us when you're ready. Now you say, well, I really want to, get in front of the small business specialist. Remember I talked about, I don't have any money in the Ozzy bill. The components is who have the money and the requirements, right? So the small business specialist who, help our office and, they're tied to me by the administration of the program. They are the ones who kind of meet directly with businesses who are interested in that component and their mission.
Got it.
So if you're interested in CBP, CBP has a whole group of people. They have industry liaisons, they have small business specialists, they have different databases where they put in information about contractors. So I would suggest if you're interested in that, and I don't know if you can post the DHS Small Business Specialist link.
Yeah, well, let me
That would
try.
be helpful too. So you'll get to see who are these small business specialists in each one of the components, as well as you have our information. And if you have a question, you can ask and say, oh, I just want some general information. We have information on our website, which is being retooled, about how to do business with DHS in general. And so there are different ways. It's just hard to say one way. Some ways work better for others than you have subs of subs of sub. You have a first tier sub. You have someone who wants to be a prime. Someone who says, you know what, I'm gonna get my feet wet and try to get something that's, a couple $100,000. The 8A program. If you're a small disadvantaged business, I would suggest being part of the 8A program because remember I talked about, the small disadvantaged business goal has increased for every agency. And the only way we know that you're small disadvantaged is the 8A program. Okay. And so if you're in the 8A program, you're small disadvantaged, and you might have heard the 8A program went through a little shakeup back in August. But they've made some adjustments to some of the things that they've had to do based on the court case about the 8A program and being socially disadvantaged.
And can you share that with us too? Like what those updates look like? I think that was a big deal to see
For the
that
8A program.
application be on
Okay,
pause
so
as
in
well.
general, so I don't mess this up. I mean, I know it, but I'm no lawyer, so I'll kind of give you the down and dirty part of it. So there was a company called Ultima. The case is called Ultima. I mean, there's no secret. You can Google that or search Ultima. And so, the decision came out in August. I want to say July last year, but I've been in the courts for a while. So the gist of it is that this company was challenging social disadvantage. So if you know about the 8A program, the 8A program, the basis of being a small disadvantaged business is that you're socially and economically disadvantaged. So the challenge of Ultima was that, hey, just because you're born a minority, does that mean you're socially disadvantaged, right? So many of us can look at that and go, okay. And then, that was challenged. So you could no longer assume the person was disadvantaged socially. So what had to happen is all the companies in the 8A program had to go in and write a narrative about their social disadvantage. How have they been disadvantaged in this country? There were lawyers that reviewed these narratives. SBA did a great job in trying to, and all this is at the end of the fiscal year. So you can imagine what was going on. It was just hectic and all over the place. But SBA did a great job of trying to ensure that companies that they abided by the ruling, and that they made it easy for agencies to still utilize the 8A program, and made sure that there were, the companies in the 8A program knew what was going on. So I'd be interested in anybody who's in the 8A program. Now, I will say some companies did not challenge that if they were socially disadvantaged, they didn't even answer the call. So maybe they knew they were not. So there may have been some in there that shouldn't have been in there to indicate, or they felt that their narrative that they would have wrote might not have been strong enough. I don't know. I can't sit and say. You'd have to talk to SBA about that. But the gist of it was the challenge of social disadvantage. And so, people just don't think if you're born a minority in this country that you're automatically social disadvantaged. And the courts decided to, in a certain way. And SBA had to make changes to their how you to the program. And if you chose social disadvantage, I think there's a block on the form. I'm not that sure, but they've changed the form now and a few other things. We still use the 8A program. Nothing has stopped the use of the program. It was a little hiccup in, in a part of it. And so we continue to use it today.
Yeah, that was definitely. I remember we were like keeping up with it on social, and then also primarily on LinkedIn, but just in the news outlets, I had like an alert coming up with it. I'm like, I cannot believe this, because I had started the application and they sent an email that my application had.
Yeah, they paused applications for a while, and now they've reopened the
Yes,
application so you can reapply. So they did
reapply.
pause it for a while, but this just brings up, challenging a lot of things,
Yeah.
that are tied to a person. Should service disabled veterans get a, should women,
And I knew it was going to be a
it
snowball
starts
effect.
somewhere, but
Yep.
we just want opportunities for everybody, and these
Yeah.
programs are important. They do help individuals that have been underserved in this country, and so we want to make sure we keep those programs alive, and we use all of these programs at Homeland.
Yeah. Definitely. And then you mentioned before we got to that question was set aside opportunities. And last time we had this interview, you shared with us a website where we can find subcontracting opportunities with prime contractors who have contracts with DHS. So I just found that website and I'm going to drop that link in the chat. But can you tell us basically how often these opportunities are updated and what we can expect? With reaching out to these exist or do they have existing contracts or are they looking to respond to an opportunity?
Which
How is
list are you putting, the list of primes or the subnet, the SBA tool?
No, not that subnet. It's the list of primes,
Okay, so,
dhs.gov/prime
and that's
contractor.
not an inclusive list, I'll tell you that. We kind of take and put out, we rotate it often, we probably need to rotate it again. Like the list of our prime contractors from guard services to IT. And so this list will show you what they're looking for. They're always looking to sub out work. And that's a whole nother discussion of how subbing works, subcontracting works. But a lot of these companies in this list will show you they're looking for, information technology people. They might be looking for companies that can help them with staffing. They may be looking for, and so if you're putting that link up, that's what that's for. So I would, and then we have they call them SBLOs, similar to, excuse me, small business specialists in the government. They have people, individuals at large companies who deal with small businesses as being potential suppliers. And partners. They usually call them SBLOs, but they have different names. So in this document, I think the one you're putting up is where we have their contact information. Sometimes they change a bit, so don't get discouraged. We also have vendor outreach. So if you search DHS vendor outreach, and we have a vendor outreach page. Don't ask me for these links now. I'm just telling you. I will tell you, our program manager for our vendor outreach, her name is Audra Dunbar. And so if you search on our just DHS vendor outreach, we have a VOS mailbox. Don't ask me to tell you what that is right offhand, but it's online. It's too many things to remember. And so she can get back with everyone. You know, she's a went to an HBCU. She's an AKA. Any AKAs out there? Audra Dunbar. One thing, we want to meet you because you know you'd be her soul. But she's a magnificent representation of how the program should work. She took it over from someone who retired, who did a great job, and she's doing a great job. So if you are interested in our vendor outreach, then you know what is that? We have a couple pronged approach to outreach, right? So one of it is me doing these kind of events, right? Outreach about what is DHS doing, who is DHS, you know, are there opportunities? Another leg of it is we attend other events. You know, I do kind of these kind of interviews all the time, and we go to a lot of conferences. We just came back from the National Small Business Conference put on by the 8A Association, which was a great conference. DHS was there. We had a booth. I did a speaking event there. We do vendor outreach sessions. That's VOS. And we do those virtually 10 times a year. And those are like 15-minute appointments to get you in front of small business specialists as well as large businesses. So we have 10 of those a year. We don't do them in April or September. And, you know, again, if you look up on the website, we have a whole web page about vendor outreach. Vendor outreach matchmaking events is something else that we've come up with where we do a business-to-business match without the government involved for free. You know, you might have a business in, you know, Las Vegas. And you say, you know, I've been looking at this company, and or I have some I'm missing some capabilities somewhere. And you may hook up with a company that's in Texas or Alaska that you never knew existed. And we help facilitate that. And we, you know, let you connect you with like 15 minutes conversation, all virtual. And so we're very proud of that program, and that's the program I got the award for the was the vendor outreach matchmaking event. But again, reach out to our program manager, Audra Dunbar. You can search her, and she'll give you a lot of information about what VOS is. So we're very proud of our outreach efforts at the department.
So I'm so the someone's asking about the link. So the email actually for Audrey Dunbar, but it's on the website. It's osdbu.vos@hq.dhs.gov. So you can send an email on there. I also dropped that link in the chat,
Very
so
good.
you can go ahead and tap into that one.
Very good.
Darlene, this has been amazing.
Oh,
As
okay.
it always is, we constantly, you know, have these conversations and dive deeper into the information. We will be reaching out to be on the podcast again, see what's
Very
going on with
good.
DHS.
No, thank you so much. I just want to say again, you have all of the email addresses and boxes. And if you have any information that you need from me or us, my team about small business at Homeland, just let us know. And we appreciate you having me on here again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. I will talk to you soon.
All
Listen,
right.
everyone, in the meantime, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. All of the links are on the YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, type in government coins, you will see this video and other videos as well. Make sure you go ahead and click on the link so you can tap in to get all of the different links that Darlene mentioned. And until then, I will see y'all in the next episode. All
Bye.
right. Bye, y'all.